All right, Manitoba, welcome back to another episode, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you're having a wonderful day, as always. Like always, Manitoba, like, share, subscribe, do all that good stuff that helps out the show, especially sharing. That really does help. I apologize about the missed start earlier. Like always, there's always some sort of technical glitch, but I couldn't get my microphone to work, so it took a couple minutes, but I figured out the problem, so all is good. So like I said, Manitoba, the big ask would be go to Rumble and follow me on Rumble, because I'm just fighting the inevitable banning on Facebook that's going to come at some point. All right, Manitoba. So one thing I have learned on my 41 years on this earth is no matter what, no matter who we elect, NDP, Liberals, it doesn't matter. Every single time, Manitoba loses. Every time. I would include Liberal in that list too, but thank God in Manitoba, they only have one seat, so they're not much to even consider. But it does not matter who we elect in this province. And the worst part is about losing is there is zero accountability. Like, none. And what are we honestly supposed to do, Manitoba? Wait 4 years until the next election and then vote in the opposition? And then the opposition literally does the same thing. It's literally like they switched the script. Like, when the NDP is in the opposition position, they'll complain about how the PCs aren't doing things. And then the NDP gets in power, and then they do not do those things. Like, the biggest one that comes to mind would be shutting down the surgical task force. We elect the NDP, sure, I guess. But the NDP comes in, and they come out and say, this is costing too much. Like, sure, okay. And then they say they want to invest the money in Manitoba. Sure, okay. But what's the plan then? Instead of just coming with a wrecking ball and canceling all of the PC's mandates that were in place, at least have a backup plan before you're going to do that. But Manitoba, they literally have nothing in play. I'm just going to show you a brief video clip of what I'm talking about.
Thank you, Honorable Speaker. One of the first things the NDP did when they took office was eliminate out-of-province surgery options for Manitobans. They did this without first doing anything to increase surgical capacity here in Manitoba. Yeah. A recent Ipsos poll shows that 42% of Canadians are so frustrated with wait times that they are willing to pay out-of-pocket to receive care faster somewhere else. Just a few months ago, if you were waiting for surgery and able to travel, you could get your surgery months sooner and it was covered by Manitoba Health. Now, under the NDP, you're stuck waiting for surgery under a government with no plan to address surgical wait times, or you're forced to pay tens of thousands of dollars out of pocket just to get timely care.
Yeah.
When can Manitoba patients expect a plan from the NDP to address
surgical
wait times?
Member's time has expired. The Honourable Minister of Health, Seniors and Long-Term Care.
Thank you, Honourable Speaker. The member's opposite question really puts on display a fundamental difference between our government and that side of the House. And that difference is that our government believes in Manitobans. We believe in investing in Manitoba. We believe that capacity here at home and people getting care at the bedside in their own province is and should be a priority. And you know what, Honourable Speaker? Manitobans agree, and they made that decision very, very evident on Election Day.
So at the same time, Manitoba NDP will complain about the opposite from 3 months ago. PCs do the same thing, and this is like pull your hair out frustrating, Manitoba. When the PCs complain about the temporary tax relief on fuel, this is something the PCs could have done in their 7 years of office. And then they have the nerve to complain to the NDP that it's only temporary. Like, I don't get me wrong, I agree it shouldn't only be temporary. But why the F didn't you guys do that when you guys were in power? You guys had 7 years to do this. I mean, if this doesn't tell you what a complete circus this is, I don't know what else. I'm going to play you a video of that too.
Honorable Speaker, when this Minister of Finance proposed his gas tax holiday, he made promises that the savings would make their way to Manitobans. And the Premier even threatened local grocery stores to lower their prices. He threw out numbers like $250 over 6 months would be saved. But unfortunately for him and the entire NDP government, facts matter, and these facts disagree with them. Prices shot right back up in 2 weeks. This minister and premier promised that savings would find their way to Manitobans. So ask him a simple question: where are these savings?
The Honorable Minister of Finance.
Thank you, Honorable Speaker. You know, for many years, 7 years in a row, in fact, Manitobans had a government that wasn't concerned about the affordability challenges that they were facing. You know, seniors, folks across this province struggled with higher costs of living. Finally, our government came in and we brought them relief. We brought a fuel tax holiday that now has us having the lowest fuel cost in the entire country.
Cheaper than Alberta. Wow. Amazing. Wow. More questions like this.
We got more work to do, Honorable Speaker. We're going to be doing that work. We look forward to bringing forward more good news with our budget in April.
Here's one more video, Manitoba.
Supplementary question.
Honorable Speaker, this minister wants to talk about gas prices. Well, I table this chart here for him to read since he can't read numbers. Gas is actually more expensive today in Manitoba than it was on January 1st. Maybe he can read that. Data shows that the price was only in effect for 2 weeks. This holiday was clearly not designed to help Manitobans, but rather a talking point from an overpromised $3 billion campaign. By using this minister's own math, families will save $26. Why is this minister pretending his government is providing real savings when in fact it doesn't even cover the cost for a meal for two people?
The Honorable Minister of Finance.
Thank you, Honorable Speaker. You know, a lot changed on October 3rd. A lot changed in this province. The Manitobans went from having a government that didn't understand the affordability challenges they were facing to having one that really did understand the day-to-day challenges. This government... We know that we've had the lowest inflation rate in the country for 2 months in a row, Honorable Speaker. For Manitobans up and down. The years of the PCs raising prices on Manitobans are over. We're going to keep doing the work of making this province and into a more affordable place to live.
So as you guys could see, they literally just talk over each other. They don't answer any of the questions. But isn't it extremely frustrating to listen to a PC, a progressive conservative, complain about something that they literally could have done to save us money? That's what I mean by it's a circus. It's like they literally just switch scripts. And I mean, Manitoba, we are 3.5 years away from an election. They do not care about us. They do not care about what we think. It's evident in how they answer all the questions. It's definitely not about serving the people. It's just about one-upping the other side. If it was about serving the people, at the very least, they would answer the question that they were asked, you know, to give the public the information that we want. It's not about answering the opposition. It's about answering the question for the public so we have that answer. But it's insane that they don't even try. They could be asked a question about healthcare and then they'll respond with their... they'll respond with an answer about taxes. Like, it's just a complete circus. But Manitoba, that, and again, like, this is across the aisle. It doesn't matter what party you want to talk about. But we are going to talk about why I enjoy a little bit. I do get a little bit of joy seeing the PCs not in power anymore. Because of things exactly like this. Cards on the table. Proof of vax passports nearly 19 times more pricier than health cards. The Manitoba government spent nearly 19 times more money to make proof of immunization cards during the COVID-19 pandemic than it does on paper health cards. Manitoba, this is the progressive conservatives, just so you guys know, who are in power, who implemented this. It cost $1.67 to produce each plastic credential. The price tag of making a permanent health card is less than 10 cents. In what world, Manitoba, for something that we all knew was temporary, would they spend 20 times the cost of your health card? Something I've had in my wallet for the last 4 decades. Not in my wallet, not quite 4 decades, but you get what I'm saying. In what world would you spend $1.67 when you could have spent 10 cents? And this is the PC party, Manitoba. Okay, this was not Liberals. This is not Justin Trudeau. This is not NDP. This was Brian Pallister and the PC party. The new data shows the rollout of temporary passports equipped with QR codes, an incentive to get 2 vaccine doses, cost approximately $6.2 million. And the PCs are going to come out and say that they're good stewards of our money? I don't think so. In 2021, research and card development process came out to $4.1 million overall, according to the Freedom of Information request filed by the Free Press. Figures from the Consumer Protection and Government Service Department indicate the cost of buying and distributing the specialized identification was just under $2.1 million. So $4 million to develop it and $2 million to distribute it, for a total of $6.2 million on something that could have been done 20 times cheaper. I mean, it shouldn't even have been done at all, but it could have been done 20 times cheaper. The ID complemented virtual cards and allowed recipients entry into public facilities, which was bullshit. Business and crowded events, which was bullshit. Between 2021 and March 2022. $6.2 million for cards that were used for 9 months. Quote, it's pretty ludicrous for the province to spend $6 million on heavy-duty plastic vaccine cards when the government knew the program was likely going to be temporary, said Gage Hubrick, Prairie Director at the Canadian Taxpayer Federation. Hubrick said it was a foolhardy decision to fork out so much money on the cards at a time when spending was up significantly to address pandemic expenses. Exactly. Good stewards of our money, the PC wants us to believe. This is exactly why Manitoba... Well, this is why conservatives did not vote for them again. And this is why I will never vote for the PC party on the provincial level. On the federal level, that's a little bit different. But on the provincial level, not going to happen. Never. Brian Pallister ran that party into the mud. And Heather Stephenson just joined in and tried her best to run it down into the dirt as well. So it is so frustrating to realize that, like I said, this was not Liberals. This was the Manitoba PC party. $6 million, Manitoba. So, I mean, they could talk all the talk now that they're in opposition, but we lose. Manitoba loses every time, the taxpayer, no matter what. Report calls on province to build 10,000 social housing units. And I just explained why Manitoba, why PC is the disaster. I don't know if you guys remember, but when NDP is in charge and in power in the province and they're tasked with building social housing, it turns into a disaster. So this is also going to be another spending boondoggle. A new report is calling on Manitoba government to build 10,000 social housing units over the next decade to meet the demand for low-income renters. Research from the Canadian Centre for Policy Alternatives, CCPA, says the province and other governments need to take action and not leave it to the private sector. Quote, it's time for Manitoba to stop relying on the private market to produce low-rent housing, Kristen Burness of Right of Housing Coalition told CTV News. The CCPA report recommends exploring several different avenues to address the demand, like building social housing on 9 downtown surface parking lots already owned by the province. I don't even know what to say, Manitoba. They are just so determined to completely ruin downtown. No one walks downtown. If you're going to get rid of driving downtown, you're going to get rid of traffic downtown. Crime is insane down there. Other options include buying and converting empty office buildings, hotels, and motels into apartments, and creating a tax credit for owners who sell rental properties to nonprofits and housing providers. Quote, public investment is not an expense. It is an investment in the public state, CCPA's Lynn Fernandez said. Manitoba Housing Minister says the NDP government is committed to building social and affordable housing, and new measures for housing are in the upcoming April 2 budget. Quote, the report pivots to a lot of levers, and in this upcoming budget, we are leaning heavily into a lot of those levers, Manitoba Housing Minister Bernadette Smith said. The report also says housing people will reduce policing and healthcare costs. According to the CCPA, nearly 6,000 low-income households are on the wait list for social housing. So, Manitoba, do you guys remember this? This is what happens when NDP build social housing in Manitoba. This is an old article, but I just want to refresh your memory. Inner city Winnipeg housing complex sits vacant, up for sale, only 12 years after it was built. Do you guys remember this disaster? I did some electrical work in here in Manitoba. I'm telling you firsthand, when you're inside these suites, it's like you just shake your head and you're like, why in the would they design something like this? Literally, Manitoba, you could not even eat. Like, eating where you eat and where you cooked were on different floors. Like, the dining room and the kitchen weren't even on the same floor. Some of these suites were so poorly designed. But that's what happened. This is what happens when we have the NDP in charge. Manitoba is looking to redevelop, sell, or give away an inner-city Winnipeg housing complex that sits vacant only 12 years after it was built at a cost of $3.7 million. The property has been vacant and fenced off back in 2021. And this is a current article, March 6th. Residents are losing hope because this is something that the NDP keeps talking about they're going to take care of. But when? When? That's the question, right? When Manitoba Housing announced it was seeking proposals for the future of an abandoned inner-city housing complex, members of the Central Park community were hopeful about the future of Center Village, which had become a hub for criminal activity since it has been shuttered. Now, 4 months after the latest deadline for the proposal to renovate or demolish 575 Balmoral Street, the hope has faded and residents want to know what the holdup is. So the deadline's passed and NDP just says more news is on the way. But Manitoba Housing owns Center Village, a 25-unit apartment complex built to provide subsidized housing to newcomers. But practical issues with the ambitious design of the apartment units and safety concerns rendered the building unusable. It was boarded up in 2022, just 10 years after it opened. So the amount of money, remember, $3.7 million to build? Check this out. Manitoba Housing has offered to sell the property for $1, with priority given to Indigenous organizations and new construction projects. The successful applicant must build at least 25 units of subsidized social housing, meaning rent must be calculated based on tenants' income. The department has also put up $2.2 million in capital funding towards the project, following the 2019 field condition assessment that estimated repairs to the complex would cost about $1.8 million. So Manitoba, they spent $3 million to build it. And then they want to sell it for a dollar. They have people in there for 10 years only. Brand new building, $3.6 million to build, people in it for 10 years. Then you have it shuttered for like 3 years while it's costing taxpayers taxpayer money to take care of it. And now we're going to sell it for a dollar and put $2.2 more million into it. Oh, what a joke. So, like I said, this is across the aisle, Manitoba. The PCs are not good stewards of our money. And we already know that the NDP definitely is not. Like, this is not new at all. But Brandon's going to get theirs, that's for sure. This is, I find, hilarious. New Brandon bylaw means city can fine people for failing to shovel sidewalks, but won't for now, so they say. Changes to Brandon's snow clearing bylaw are being put to the test this week after the city was hit by almost 30 centimeters of snow in recent days. Doug McCallum arrived home from Florida soon after the first major snowstorm of the season hit southwestern Manitoba on Sunday. On Tuesday, he got home to a driveway covered in knee-high snow drifts and began shoveling out the snow. There's a fair bit amount here, but most of Brandon doesn't look that bad, McCallum says. The stuff blew in pretty good. Under a recent amended City Brandon Community Standards bylaw, residents can now be fined up to $150 for failure to clear snow from any sidewalk adjacent to their property, including the public sidewalks. Snow clearing has always been required for residents and businesses, but the fines for failing to clear sidewalks are new, Brandon City Manager Ron Bowles said. McCallum said the bylaw change is a good idea. Do your part, McCallum said. I mean, it's not too much longer till spring. He does worry it could disproportionately impact people who can't physically move the snow on their own, but the city of Brandon says it runs a Snow Angels program that can match people who need help with a volunteer. Luis Ramirez spent the better part of 2 days shoveling out his and his girlfriend's home after the storm, which Environment Canada says dumped 22 to 29 centimeters of snow in Brandon. In general, if everybody contributes, you know, it would help a little bit, Ramirez said, but he feels like the bylaw is passing the burden of snow clearing on to Brandonites. Well, yeah, it's your responsibility, Brandonites. I just find it funny at a time of government incompetence and mismanagement of spending our taxpayer money that they're going to come out and make sure that they get theirs, that Manitoba, the government never fails to get theirs. So what else is the government doing now that they're back in session, back in the spring session? This is how they're spending your hard-earned taxpayer dollars. This is how they're earning their $100,000, $118,000 wage. Manitoba government introduces bill that would ensure general neutral language is used in legislation. Like, is this really what we should be focusing on? In a time of so many families can barely put food on the table, barely pay rent, and the government of Manitoba is focused on gender-neutral language. The Manitoba government is introducing amendments to the Statutes and Regulations Act and the Interpretation Act that would ensure gender-neutral language is used in Manitoba's legislation, Justice Minister Matt Weeb announced today. Removing gender language is an important step toward ensuring equality and inclusivity for women, and the 2SLGBTQ+ community are reflected in legislation, said Weeb. This is the first step in ensuring that Manitoba's laws and the services Manitobans receive reflect their identities and are inclusive of women, trans, and non-binary people. This bill also proposes a better process for making minor or administrative amendments to regulations, as well as changes to coming into force proclamation dates. Manitoba, is really the language that non-inclusive that they got to spend time and money putting bills forward to changing? Like, and this is not all. Manitoba government takes steps to protect Manitobans seeking reproductive health care. They make it sound good. But what does the Manitoba government hate? Protesters. They hate when you protest something that they put forward. And that's all it is, stopping protesters. The Manitoba government is introducing legislation that would establish protected access zones outside clinics and facilities that provide abortion services and at service providers' residences and offices. So there's going to be a 50-meter boundary in front of abortion clinics where you can protest. This is the kind of shit that they're wasting our money and their time when gas... Manitoba, we are about to see like a 28% increase in our heating, I believe, come April from Justin Trudeau's carbon tax. Not only that, in June, the temporary gas tax goes away. So at a time, and we all complain about the groceries. So at a time when Manitobans are struggling to pay their bills, struggling to put food on the table, our government's wasting their time with gender-neutral language bills and bills about where and where you cannot protest. It is mind-blowing because every article I talked about today just demonstrates how willy-nilly they are with our money, and they just do not give a fuck about you or your money because elections are 4 years apart. And then it's like I said, they just switched the script. And not only that, these people are chosen from the same team. It's like we're picking politicians from the same team and saying, you go to PC, you go NDP, you go PC, you go NDP. They're the exact same fucking party. Same two-headed dragon. So Manitoba, that's why I harp day in and day out that we need to give Manitoba Keystone, the Keystone Party of Manitoba, an honest-to-God chance. Because this is what we get, Manitoba, from both sides of the aisle. I'm gonna play more videos from them in question period, just so you guys get an understanding of what a circus this is, and how they just do not care about the general public. But either way, Manitoba, it's been about a half hour, so I'm gonna try and stick to that format. Sorry about the false start, but I did get I figured out the technical difficulties. Manitoba Freethinker podcast on Rumble and Facebook and YouTube. MB Freethinker on TikTok and X. If you want to send me an email, Manitoba, you can send it to mbfreethinker@gmail.com. And like I said earlier, Manitoba, the big ask would be to follow me on Rumble. Like I said, because eventually I'm going to get banned off Facebook because Facebook hates when you tell the truth. So if you could follow me on Rumble, that would be awesome. This is a live show Tuesday and Thursday, 9 p.m. So join me next Tuesday, Manitoba. I will be back. I go live sometimes on Saturday, so maybe I'll see you guys then. But either way, Manitoba, I love you guys so much. And thank you once again for tuning in. I'll see you guys next time. Bye.